Last month, the governor of North Dakota approved 3 new laws to restrict access to abortion. One of the laws forbids an abortion if a fetus's heartbeat can be detected, which is often at 6 weeks of pregnancy. Tammy Kromenaker is the director of Red River Women's Clinic, the only clinic in North Dakota that currently performs abortions, and she's chair of the Abortion Care Network. Tammy Kromenaker joins me now by phone from Fargo. Hello, Tammy.
Hi, thanks for having me.
The governor signed the anti-abortion laws at the end of March, but are you currently able to perform abortions at the clinic?
Yes, we are. None of the bills go into effect, none of the laws go into effect until August 1st. So that gives us time to, the Center for Reproductive Rights has already committed to challenging HB 1456 or the heartbeat bill. It gives us time to have our doctors attempt to get privileges, which was one of the other bills, and we have some time to work, and we still are able to see patients with no issues.
I wanted to talk about the specifics about some of the bills, starting with the heartbeat bill that you mentioned. Can you talk about how this bill violates previous federal rulings on abortion in the United States?
Absolutely. First, starting in Roe v. Wade, and then in the 1992 Casey v. Planned Parenthood, the Supreme Court has said that, yes, states can put restrictions on abortion. Things like minor consent laws and 24-hour waiting periods and mandated counseling and things like that. But they have time and time again said you cannot put a ban on abortion prior to viability, which they defined at about 24 weeks. So this law, being at such an early time that it puts that ban on there. And when we say 6 weeks, we're actually talking 4 weeks from conception, 6 weeks from a woman's last period, which is often much earlier than most women even discover that they're pregnant. So it's clearly in violation. And the Supreme Court even has held up time and time again that they will not ban abortion prior to viability.
So if this law is unconstitutional, why did the governor pass it?
You know, it's been a little frustrating that the governor did pass it. He took an oath of office, and this was actually the first year that he took an oath of office to uphold both the North Dakota Constitution and the U.S. Constitution. And in fact, one person even pointed out, why do we even have a governor then if all he's going to do is just uphold whatever the legislature passes? It is his job to kind of hold the legislature in check and to protect the state of North Dakota. So, he claimed that there is constitutional questions, but it was very disappointing that he went ahead and signed them, and signed them so quickly. They were on his desk less than 12 hours, and he signed them.
One of the other laws that you referred to was that physicians performing an abortion will have to have admitting privileges at a local hospital. Is this a targeted law to shut down your clinic?
Absolutely. This is what we consider a trap law or a targeted regulation of abortion provider law. The main sponsor of the bill is, in fact, a physician himself, a family medicine physician, just like our doctors are. And he knows, and he's here from Fargo, he knows full well that two of the main hospitals here will absolutely not give our doctors privileges. The third hospital that we have left to apply at is the Veterans Administration, or VA, which is a federal hospital, and I doubt that they will either, because nobody wants to step into this contentious issue of abortion. And the other part is the one hospital does require that you admit at least 10 patients a year to gain the privileges. Well, we've only admitted one patient in 10 years. It's impossible for us to meet that basic standard because abortion is so safe. And in fact, if I had a physician who was admitting up to 10 women a year, they wouldn't be working here anymore. That would mean that their skills and their competency would be under question, and I just wouldn't allow them to continue to work here.
The third law is similar to what's been recently proposed in Canada by conservative representatives, and that would ban abortions for reasons of sex selection or genetic fetal anomaly. Is this a new tactic that's being introduced in North Dakota?
Absolutely, and it's new to, this is the first time any state has passed the genetic abnormality. There's other states that hold up the sex selection ban, but the genetic abnormality is especially harmful because most often these are pregnancies that women very much want. And later in a pregnancy, late in the second trimester, they discover there's a genetic abnormality. And we should not be policing women's reasons for terminating a pregnancy. And we should leave it to women and their physicians. These are generally you know, like I said, very wanted pregnancies, and it's absolutely a heartbreaking decision for these couples and these women to make. And it has gone, all of these bills have gone further than any bills ever have in any state legislature. We literally have the most restrictive bans, and no state legislature has ever passed out of both houses these kinds of bans.
I want to talk now about the legal challenge. Red River Women's Clinic is working with the Center for Reproductive Rights on a constitutional challenge to the new laws. Do you expect this to be a lengthy and a costly fight?
I do. We're actually engaged already with the state of North Dakota about restrictions they passed 2 years ago. The state legislature only meets every 2 years, and the last time they met in 2011, they passed restrictions on medication abortion. We go to court just next week on that bill, and that was 2 years ago. And the constitutional questions behind medication abortion restrictions and the heartbeat are very different. You know, the heartbeat brings up so many more constitutional problems. So maybe it'll go faster, although I doubt it, because the state has directed the Attorney General's office to, you know, take it as far as he possibly can. So I do expect it to be in court for quite some time. And even though the center represents us pro bono, and they are absolutely fantastic, we still have to maintain local counsel here. So for the past 2 years, we've been paying a local attorney to be our attorney in working with the center on the medication abortion case, and we'll have to pay him as well for every other case, you know, that we're bringing forth.
Are anti-choice individuals or organizations that support these bills, are they well-organized and well-funded in North Dakota?
Oh, they so are. And in fact, the state of North Dakota actually supports some of them. The big push this year with this legislation has been from Personhood USA, which is not a North Dakota entity. It's a national entity, and they bring forth this model legislation to different states. They shop around for different legislators individually who will bring the bills, and then they provide support, and they provide testifiers. You know, they brought in two attorneys and a PhD biologist to testify on behalf of these bills, and those folks traveled to North Dakota multiple times, stayed for several days, so they're extremely well-funded, well-organized, and have amazing infrastructure. I mean, in fact, in 2011, when a state senator attempted to, he did block a Personhood bill, Personhood USA targeted him in his next election and poured tons of resources into the person he was running against, and that state senator lost his seat.
It's unfortunate that so many political and also financial resources have to go towards fighting to retain legal rights when I know here there are still so many socioeconomic barriers for women who want to have an abortion. Can you talk about existing barriers to accessing abortion for women in North Dakota?
Well, first of all, North Dakota is a good-sized state, and we're the only provider. So women from the western part of the state do have to travel. You know, last week I asked specific women, you know, 6-7 hours they said they traveled. And then that also involves looking into childcare. 60% of our patients already have at least one child, and just the, you know, transportation costs to get here. We have some of the most restrictive laws already. We have a 24-hour waiting period. Women are required to receive materials from the state. We have to tell them ideological things like abortion terminates the life of a whole separate, unique living human being. There's just a lot of hoops for women to jump through. And in North Dakota, where there's so many poor women, rural women, women of color, and especially women in domestic violence relationships, it takes a lot for them to get here and to be safe to get here and have the resources to get here. And we could be using this money that's going to be just wasted on litigation costs to help those women and the children that they already have.
For people here in Manitoba who do support your fight, how can they support you and your clinic in this?
Well, we've been receiving letters and emails and notes from all over the world, literally. That makes us and our staff feel so, you know, supported, and that's so important. People can donate tax-deductible donations. I don't know how that works in Canada, but they could donate to the Center for Reproductive Rights, or they could go to our website, and the contribution to our clinic would not be tax-deductible, but The money that we raise will be earmarked for legal defense funds. We also do have a fund, the North Dakota Women in Need Fund, that is a tax-deductible donation. Again, I'm not sure how that works for Canadians.
Probably wouldn't get the donation.
Right, but it does go to the women that we serve, and it helps them economically, either, you know, with transportation costs, to reduce their fee, to give them a, you know, birth control shot, you know, those kinds of services that they're not otherwise able to afford.
Well, thank you very much, Tammy, for speaking with me today.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
I've been speaking with Tammy Cromanaker. She's the director of Red River Women's Clinic in Fargo. And you can find out more about challenges to reproductive rights in North Dakota at their website, which is redriverwomensclinic.com. And also, if you are interested in donating, there's information there. Or you can also look at the Center for Reproductive Rights, and that website is reproductiverights.org. You're listening to Mud and Water on CKW 95.9 FM. I'm Karen McIntosh.